This is the last week of this series we're calling Here is Holy, week 6. But this is not the last sermon that is going to confront what God's doing in us and through us. Everybody say right here. This is the phrase for the entire year. So in the next series, we're going to be talking about what God's doing in our generosity and stewardship right here. And then when we go after that, and we start talking about what God wants to do in our relationships, I'm not sure right now, but I think I'm going to do a series called Cuffing Season after the finance series and after Easter. Because what I'm finding is people are in relationship and cuffed to things that are taking them in the wrong direction. And I just find everybody know where relationship goes. This is going to be a little different. I really feel like you're in relationship with whatever you're tied to. And I just feel like we're not going to be talking about the future of our relationship. We're going to be talking about what you cuff to right here. And I don't know what all the other sermon series are. I have an inkling of them. But I just feel like God, all of 2022, he wants to do a work within us right here. And for those of you just joining this series, welcome. God's doing something really, really special here at Transformation Church. If you're excited to be a part of a church that's led by the Holy Spirit, could you just give God some praise? I just need to know. I love it here. You understand? I love it here, but do you love it here in the chat, in the comment, in the room? Can we give God some praise that he's actually doing this right now? Amen. So write it down. Here is holy. This phrase is something that we have coined for what God is saying to us in this season of life that needs to apply to every area of your life. Here is holy is the awareness that your current situation, everybody say where I'm at, is sacred. Uh-oh. Where I'm at is sacred. It's not asking you, do you like where you're at? It's making a declarative statement over where you're at. Where I'm at is sacred. Somebody just say that. Where I'm at is sacred. And it's being intentionally used by God to prepare me for my purpose, and it's opposed to there. It means that there is no longer the goal. I'm going to say this again because it's going to go against everything you wrote in your vision planner. There is no longer the goal. Here is the gift of God. There is not the goal. Here is the gift of God. And until you divorce the theology of there, you will always be frustrated about here. You will always devalue here. I heard somebody say the other day they have small children. And we have small children, and we were talking back and forth, and they said, I can't wait till they get older. But at the moment they get older, you're going to be wishing that they were little again. Any parents in the house? Oh, God, they can talk and talk back, and they drive, and I wish And you wish they could go back to the place. Why? And many times people have more children because they didn't value the here they were in. Uh-oh, I'm going to real stuff. And so they keep having children trying to get back a moment that they didn't value. And maybe it's not children, but it may be boyfriends. Because you're trying to find a feeling that you had at one moment when it was good and godly, but you didn't like the package God sent them in. So you started talking to your girlfriends and you let their opinion divorce you from your future. And it may not be a relationship, but it may be a business. And you didn't value the time when nobody knew you. And you could actually greet every customer. And actually go out to dinner with people who wanted to invest. Now you're so busy, you keep praying for God to take away what you fasted for. And when you do not value, everybody shout at me, here.
Here.
There. It's never fulfilling. Because there turns into here.
Come on.
You never get there and it stays there. Every time you get there, it turns into here. And if you were not content with the here you were in, you will not be content in the here you go to. They tell me that the average satisfaction of people's life does not go up drastically after you make $75,000. Did y'all hear that? And I know some people are like, well, test me. Like, let me see. Let me see what could happen. But they literally say that your joy, happiness, and vigor for life increases very little after you make $75,000. So, but when I get there, when I make $200,000, when I make $250,000, when I make $1 million, and God said, but you weren't satisfied at $35,000. So you can put $3.5 million in the books and still be frustrated, hurting, broken. And God is saying, could I teach you a principle that will allow you to enjoy the rest of your life? Valuing here. And so I want you to write it down in a point. Obedience here always takes you there. Most people are not obedient immediately here, so they delay there. And that what makes them frustrated about here, because I thought God was going to do it here. And God said, you didn't obey here. Well, I thought you was going to change my situation. I thought you was going to listen. Like, what if God said what it really was? I thought you was going to give me a relationship. I wanted a relationship with you first. I thought you were going to make my church known. I see your church. It is known. Uh-oh. He's literally saying, would you please obey me here? Because when you obey me here, it always takes you there. Could you put here and there on the screen? I want everybody to see this, and I want you to see it very clearly. Matter of fact, I'm going to move this out the way because I want you to see this. I got this revelation this week that literally God can take you on a journey from wherever you are if you just obey. God says, step. My one obedient step. I didn't have to run. The here took me there. Okay. Giving the crazy faith offering. Well, God, promotion? Love on that person that doesn't like you. Favor? Committing to people who are not committed to your purpose. Whole new friend group. See, a lot of us will not obey God for the first step. So now we're trying to work our way to somewhere God would carry us to. I'm not using any energy except the energy to step. But it's because I'm obeying the step. Everybody shout at me here. That when I do it, say yes to serving. And this is what many of y'all do. God, I'll say yes, but I don't really like it. I don't really, That's not my group of people. I really thought you were going to do it in a different way. God, I really thought you were going to use them and not me. God, I actually do not. And God said, if you don't stop fighting against the current of the vision I have for your life, then you would actually be able to get what I have for you. But you know what? If you just stop, even if you turn the wrong way, if you would just stop, you could go with what God is trying to do in and through you. He can take you from here to there, from broken, and deliver you to whole. He can take you from a poverty mindset and allow you to live in wealth and abundance with generosity. He can take you. I'm just trying to get somebody to see. Here always turns into there. If you're obedient, everybody say here. If this whole year we would just make the next obedient step, you'll end up there. Now, the crazy thing about this is sometimes this goes fast and sometimes it goes slow. Could you speed it up just a little bit for me? See, because I'm expecting a certain tempo right now. But what ends up happening is as you know and flow with God, things that used to take a long time, it begins to take less time because you have developed the muscle of quick obedience. And I don't know who needs to hear this today, but God is saying that you need to stop thinking about there and you need to live your life in what Bishop calls continual hears. Because I'm no longer looking at from going from here to there. I'm looking at going from here to here. And then when he does that, I go from here to here. It doesn't matter how long it takes, and it doesn't matter if I look dumb. I'm not using my energy to make this happen. This is God. Uh-oh. He paused me. He stopped me. I was in a rhythm. In the last 5 years, every time we did something, you just took us from here to here. But now, wasn't expecting that one, God. Do you get off when you don't expect it? Uh-oh. Wasn't expecting that one, God. Oh, dang, and now it's going way fast. Whoa, hold on, Lord. Hold on, I need to brace myself for some of the transitions you're making in my life right now. I need to be able to get in position to do everything you called me to do. It does not matter what it looks like. It matters that I'm, everybody shout at me, obedient. Because when I follow the steps God gives me, everybody shout at me here. It always takes me there. Now, can you do something, cameraman? Put it to where you can't see the treadmill, but you can see me. Yeah, right there. Make it where you can't see my feet either. Just come up a little bit. Yeah, just come on up. When my feet get right here, yeah, right there. See, the crazy thing about it is, it doesn't matter if others can see. What's under you, making you move. When you see me, all you see is it looks like I'm gliding through situations other people stumble in. This is what the church should look like when you follow the power of the Holy Spirit on your life. When everybody else is going down, you follow the Spirit and it takes you up. It takes you from here to here, and I'm gonna do this all service. And it doesn't matter if they see what's powering it. Because at some point, they're going to come through and ask, how? How did you lose your loved one? And I saw you when you got the call. But grief and shame didn't stay. All along, you were able to minister to me at the cubicle the next day. How? Everybody say how. How were you able to go into that situation that looked like you were at a disadvantage and walk in there with the favor of God and be able to stand and declare what God said and see your family and others you don't even know blessed? It's because I have something powering me that is not of this world. This is how we go from here to here. Or if that's too much for you, put the cross in front of here. And guess what it spells? There. So every time I get here, before I see there, I need to see the cross. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom, its agenda, its plan, And everything else will be, what I should be going towards every time is the cross. Every move I make, for my marriage, for my money, for my mindset, I should be going towards the cross. And this is for everybody who's not been going towards the cross, and you've been, this is what you look like in your everyday life. How you doing? Blessing, highly favored. I'm doing good, girl. Everything good. How's that relationship? You know, we in a situationship. I mean, but it was just Valentine's Day and he bought me some Gucci and some Louis, you know what I'm saying? But does he commit to you? No, it's only been 9 years, but I just know that God's going, the only thing you have to do is repent. Do you know what repent means? Turn. I'm preaching this treadmill right now. All I'm telling you is that if you turn towards the cross, if you turn towards what God wants for you, it takes you from here to there. Just keep that running. We'll see what happens. You know what? I started to think about how God doesn't want us to stay here past our assignment. But most people don't know the expiration date to here. And so at the moment they get there and they don't like it, they try to run from it. Some stuff was only supposed to last 11 days. Ask the children of Israel. It had an expiration date of 11 days in the wilderness. But as soon as they tasted manna for the first time and was like, what is it? Their heart lengthened the time. Let me come preach to y'all. Boop. If your heart posture is not proper when God's trying to do something in you here, you will make the clock longer. Because the whole reason for the wilderness, the whole reason for here, is to work out of you what cannot go into the promised land. And there are so many things that we carry on the inside of us that we feel will be permitted in the promised land. And God's saying that will get your access denied. So I gotta take you the long way to work on your attitude, to work on your thoughts, to work on your character, to work on your people skills. I gotta do that so that you do not disqualify yourself when we get to the place that I promised you. He promised them, I'ma take you to a promised land. But their heart condition lengthened an 11-day expiration date to a 40-year death. No longer do we need to be worried about there. I really believe they probably had meetings about what it was gonna be like in the promised land. Instead of focusing on what God told them to do right here, they were like, yo, but when we get over there, I heard. And I bet, you know what? And once I, and God was like, man, if y'all would just focus on what I'm trying to do and build in you right here, it would change everything. So last week, God invites Moses into this amazing call. And Moses, he had internal limitations that would not allow him to fully obey what God was asking him to do. That's why I said, if you make the first step and obey God, he'll take you from here to there. He will fill your mouth. He'll give you what to say. He'll educate you as you go. But most of us want to fight with God instead of have faith in God. I'm gonna say this again. Most of us want to fight with God instead of have faith in God. And so I've been enamored at Moses' story, reading it for this series, and seeing how much he argued with God about what God called him to do. And I know, no, none of y'all argue with God. As soon as he says it, yes, Lord, here I am, your humble servant. I know. But for the few of us that might have a little Moses mentality. No. I know y'all have heard of the Mamba mentality. Y'all know Kobe Bryant. Like he had this thing that they said on the court that he would literally turn on this instinct and have this Mamba mentality. A Mamba is a snake. And it would literally, if any opponent was in front of him, he would strike fear and insecurity into them. Now, most of us don't have the Mamba mentality. Because it would have played out in your life somehow. But a lot of us have the Moses mentality. Look what the Moses mentality is. A Moses mentality fights the instructions of God due to fear and insecurity. God says, go to that place. Well, God, I don't know them. And who am I? And in there somebody, and I got a stutter, and I got a lisp, and I got this. And God's like, I did not ask you for your Moses mentality. He spends over two chapters arguing with God. God saying, I want to use you. I can't be used like that. I want people to be changed by you. I don't know if I can change. I want to transform a nation. Which nation? I don't even know nations. And I don't know why our insecurities and fears get so big at the moment that God is saying, I want to use you. But we have to get this Moses mentality out of our head when God is saying, here is holy, and I want to invite you into a call, and it's going to be bigger than anything else you've ever done, and it's not going to look like your last season. Moses spent 40 years in a desert place with sheep. And then God comes out of the blue and says, now you're going to culture, and I'm going to use you as my mouthpiece to the entire nation of Egypt. That don't look like my last season. God says it doesn't have to. Because I'm leading you. And this is why I'm asking everybody as we end this series, don't fight with God this year. I just want to end this whole series saying, if God says here is holy, and then he starts giving you crazy instructions, do not fight him. What if Moses would have had the right attitude the first time God said, I want to use you? What if it wasn't two chapters of back and forth? Yeah, yeah. What if it wasn't, but I need Aaron too? He literally put his purpose and destiny. We thank God that Aaron came along and helped. But what if Aaron was reluctant to do what God called him to do? Now, my purpose is waiting on somebody else to say yes when God never even required them to do it in the first place. Wow. You're waiting on a committee of people when God said there's enough in you to do this just with me and you. Yeah. But your insecurities and fears are saying, but I need somebody else. And God said, I'll let you have them if that'll make you move. But you didn't even need them. That was a request you asked for. But my plan for you was for you to stand flat-footed and do the purpose I called you for. When I let you live, when they were killing all babies. This is the attitude we should have. This year, my attitude will agree with the anointing of God on my life. Oh, that's nasty. Everybody say, this year, my attitude will agree with the anointing of God on my life. It doesn't matter if it's comfortable. I'm going to agree with what God is saying about me. So I'm going to be a book writer. Can't really spell. But I agree. No, y'all don't hear me. Okay, I'm going to use real examples. I failed ninth grade English. AP English. Like, and my parents are looking at each other confused on the front row right now. I was a manipulator back then. They didn't know, but I failed ninth grade English. Now watch. This is when Natalie came into my life, and it was really, really sweet, and it hurt my feelings. She said, you're smarter than that. Don't be dumb. And that's all I needed. I needed her to, I was like, hold on, I am smarter than that. And I went back and asked the teacher, could I take all the tests over again? I took all the tests over again, and I graduated with a C in English, AP English, and then I was AP classes the rest of the time in high school, but I needed that moment. It never showed up on my report card because I went back and, you know what I'm saying, made it happen. But the truth of the matter is, like the truth of everything that I'm saying to you is that there was an anointing on my life that I didn't agree with yet. And it followed me even after ninth grade. Because part of my hesitation to going to college I tell the start, the part of it that is like, I wanted to do music and all that other stuff. But there was another hesitation there of the academic side of it being too daunting for me. And God was like, no, you're an academic. Like, you can get this stuff. You can do it. But I hadn't agreed with the anointing on my... God's literally telling me I can do it. And I'm telling him all the reasons why I can't do it. And it's just like God to allow me to become an author of books. Not one book, but currently two. And there's more on the way right now. And then he uses the foolish things to confound the wise. He said, I'm not just going to let it be a book that you wrote. I'm going to let your first book, just so you know who's God, I'm going to let it go New York Times bestseller. And I'm going to make it sell over 1 million copies in less than 3 years. I really should have agreed with you earlier. If I would have known what you could do with all that I have, I would have agreed earlier. Uh-oh. I came to tell somebody, you should agree now, because it's going to take you to the place you'll end up eventually. If you want to get there faster, agree now. Or let me say it a different way, agree here. Moses didn't agree when God said it. After he took off his shoes and did all this stuff, God said, I know the plans I have for you. You don't. So why would, when I say something to you, you start questioning me? This year, we're not going to fight God. My attitude will agree with the anointing of God on my life. Why, Pastor Mike? Because obedience equips you for your assignment. When you obey, that's how you get equipped. It's not, let me get equipped and then I'll obey. That's being disobedient. But if you just obey God, he will equip you along the way to do the assignment he's called you to do. So I made a decision that all 2022, I have a brand new attitude. When God says something about me, says something about this church, says something about my family, when God wants me to go to another level, when God wants to take me somewhere, and I don't even feel fully secure in where we're going, I have a new three-word phrase. Here we go. Yeah, this needs to be the biggest faith statement that you say all year. God says, I'm going to use you in this way. I don't even get it, but here we go. God, you're going to do this from this converted grocery store even after you gave us the arena, but you're not allowing us to be in there right now. So you got us right here. Well, here we go. You're going to allow me to forgive people that have used me in a wrong way and bless them. I don't want to, but here we go. I'm telling you that these three words are going to guide you all year, because what it's doing is it's aligning your attitude. You don't have to know everything to say, here we go. You just have to obey. Somebody shout at me, obey. Shout at me real good. Here we go. That's the title of my message today. Here we go. And this brings me back to several moments in my relationship with my wife, Natalie. Natalie tries to let me finish the statement, but I'm gonna say it how I feel it. She tries to kill me once a year with some type of outlandish activity that puts me and my body and my limbs in a very compromised state. Let me explain. For my 26th birthday, she blindfolded me, drove me to the middle of the country in somewhere Oklahoma, and said, we fell in love this many years ago, so today for your birthday, let's fall from 10,000 feet and go skydiving. What? I don't even, like, at this moment, I'm paralyzed in fear. I start thinking about how much I weigh. I start thinking about the last time I used the bathroom, because it would be very devastating to pee in the air. And I, st- like every, my life is flashing before my eyes. And she's just sitting over there like, I was like, what possessed you? Like, why? We get into the hangar and the dudes are so excited because it's like their 6,000th jump. So you can tell they're skipping through stuff. I wish I was lying. They're like, yeah, 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 you'll get it, bro. Like, don't even worry. I was like, no. This is my life. We get in a plane that literally is from, like, it's 10 feet. Like, this plane is so little. I'm crunched up in the front of the plane with the pilot and the other people out there. Natalie, they talking and laughing, and all I can see is Jesus. I was like, I'm gonna meet him today. I said 3 salvation prayers. I ain't even gonna lie to you. But there was a moment that something switched in my head. The pilot literally said, look down at the, I don't know why he said it. Look down at the cars. He said, how high you think we up? Because we had to go to 10,000 feet. I said, I don't know. 9,000 feet? He said, you're 2,000 feet off the ground. And then something changed in my mind. Well, if I'm gonna die today, here we go. Now, somebody said, Pastor Mike, why did you? Because at this point, I'm in the air. At this point,
yeah.
I gotta trust. At this, somebody say, at this point, I'm about to. At this point, there's no turning back. So I might as well agree with the situation I found myself in. Would I have ever put myself in this situation? Hell to the no. But since we here, here we go. And I got outside that plane, and that man said, on the count of 3, we gonna jump. And I'm just shaking. My legs shaking, my hands shaking, everything shaking. And he said, 1, 2, 3. And we did like this, and I froze. And he said, bro, you're too big not to go. Said, the next time we do this, you gotta go. And I had to remind myself, I said I was gonna do it. I don't get it, I don't understand, but here we go. 1, 2, and I'm telling you, with everything in me, I jumped. And literally, it felt like this. I didn't move a lot. I didn't put all my effort into it. But I just leaned in the direction. I just leaned in the direction of obedience. I just leaned in the direction of the favor. I just leaned in the direction and the momentum of my obedience. Somebody shout at me, here we go. If you would take that attitude for everything that God places in front of you this year, you will find yourself having experiences and moments that will never be taken away from you. I will never go skydiving again. But can't nobody take it from me that I have had that experience. And what God is saying to many of us right now is lean the direction of obedience. You may not be fully ready to hit a jump out of there. I didn't know. He was like, like, that's why my guy was. Me, I just, everybody say lean. Just lean right now. Just lean. If you do this with God all year, I ain't gonna fight you. I'm not gonna work against you. But I am going to lean in the direction of obedience. And that's why my new phrase for the rest of this year is what? Here we go. So let me say it to you like this. You don't just say, here we go. It has to be in your heart. A lot of people have lip service, but they don't have obedience. It's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks, and then the body acts. Like if you want to really know it, like, you say it before you do it. And we got to get it in our heart. So I want you to write down, here we go heart is what I want. Like, yeah. I want a here we go heart. Like, so when God says, forgive them, your response is, here we go. And that actually has to be in your heart. When God tells you to shut up and stop complaining, and your MO is to talk about everything and vent and let people know your truth, when he muzzles you, your response is, here we go. Or maybe, Like when God asks you to serve in a department that you do not have any expertise in, but you would be a savant in a different area, but God calls you to a place where you have to learn again. Instead of fighting, like, why do I need to be in this place? No. We are agreeing with the assignment and the anointing that God has placed on our life at Transformation Church. And so our response is, here we go. Yeah. You need to write that somewhere in your binder, on your mirror, when you get up to go to that job every day. And you know that you're not functioning at your highest level, but God's trying to teach you something here. You need to say to yourself every day, here we go. You can use me. You can do whatever you want to do through me. You can change me. You can transform me. Everybody shout at me, here we go. The reason I'm trying to say this over and over and over and over again is because when you get a here we go heart, the only way you can say that is because you actually trust God. See, a lot of people get exposed in their obedience because if God said it, we should trust him. But the truth of the matter is we don't. So a lot of times when God says, go here, and that's going to be your next level to what you're going to, and you get there and you don't like it there, you stop trusting God. And you blame other people, but it really is. Nobody told you to come here. God did. You couldn't open them doors for yourself. God did that. God let you have them kids. God allowed you to do that. And when we stop trusting God, it shuts down our heart. God, I thought you said we were going to be able to be generous. And God said, trust me. Because if you trust me, I promise you it's going to happen. Maybe not when you want it to. And maybe not even how you want it to. But I am a God who does not lie. And this is why Isaiah 45 verses 3-6 really helped me out. Anytime I'm like, here we go. But God, are you sure? Watch this. This is God. And I will give you treasures hidden in the darkness, secret riches. I will do this so you may know that I am the Lord. He says, the God of Israel, the one who calls you by name. And why have I called you? This is what we want to know. Why have I called you for this work? Why did I call you by name when you did not know me? It is for the sake of Jacob, my servant, Israel, my chosen one. It's for the sake of others. I am the Lord. There is no other God. I have equipped you for battle. Ooh, I love this part right here. God has equipped me for battle, though you don't even know me. So all the world, from the east to the west, will know there is no other God. Why does God choose us? Because he knew he was weak. The only way he gets the glory and looks real strong, as he doesn't pick the biggest, strongest, most qualified person, he usually finds the most broken person and says, if I do this through them, the whole world will know from the east to the west that I am God. What a great privilege it is to be used by God in my weakness. See, people talk about Paul saying, in my weakness, he is made strong. That's God's preference, to be strong in somebody's weakness. And your proclivity is to always act strong and actually be weak.
And God said, would you please just admit you're not a good person at organizing? And stop acting like you got every app and still can't be on time. Can we just acknowledge this is a struggle for me? And God says, finally, now I can be strong in the middle of your weakness. But you only can do that when you trust God. Somebody say, here we go. Okay, so how do we have a here we go heart? 3 points and we out of here for the day. God's already met us. Matthew 28, 18. Ooh, I love the word of God. Matthew 28, 18. This is Jesus. Everybody say, here we go. Say it one more time. Here we go. Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, what is the next word? Go. Say it loud. Go. Hold on. Jesus establishes his authority. Then he gives us an instruction. And the instruction is go. Go where, Jesus? And make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all of my commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus' last instructions to his disciples were to go. But do you know what happened right before this? He says, you're gonna go. And I came to tell somebody right now, you mad because the word and the phrase of the year is here is holy? I just came to tell you, you're gonna go. Go is coming. Because here and go are always connected. So his last instruction was what? Go. Okay? But before that, do you know what he told his disciples to do? He told them to stay here. Pastor Mike, what are you talking about? Go to Acts chapter 1. Once when he was eating with his disciples, he commanded them, do not leave here. Don't leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised you. As I told you before, John baptized you with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Hold on. Jesus tells them to go, but before he tells them to go, he tells them stay here. Here, go. My here is connected to my assignment to go. If I don't wait to be empowered here, it will be pointless for me to go there. If I don't forgive here, my heart will not be malleable for God to use me there. Like here and go are the tension of true believers. Thank you. Those are my two executive team members. They're like, that's good. Why are they saying that? Because they know that's where I'm at. I can't preach nothing to you that God's not taking me through right now. God has told me all 2022, wait here. When I have so much go vision. I got so much go ability right now. I got so much go resources. I got so many go connections. I could go through my phone right now. 8 years ago, I had to obey God. I ain't have nothing. I didn't have no connections. I didn't have. And a lot of people are like, I'm just waiting on God. You ain't got no other choice. You don't got no options. You really don't know if it's God until you have the options not to obey him. I got so much go ability. I just made that word up. I got go ability and God's saying here. And what I've made a decision is that here and go are exclusively tied together. What I do here qualifies me where I get to go there. How I handle people here determines what rooms I get to go into up there. How I steward over my body here gives me the stamina to go. Do y'all know that most of y'all would be dead, all my musicians, if you actually went on tour? If you actually had to sing every night
sign autographs, get on a plane, private, then you take your Instagram picture, you won't have a voice tomorrow. Because you have not conditioned yourself here. You carrying 40 pounds of extra McDoubles here. You love Sonic's new McFlurries here. You can't get enough of Krispy Kreme donuts. And so what you're praying for, God keeps delaying your go. Because you will not be intentional and steward over here and go are connected. And until you do these three things, you'll never get to see where God wants to take you on the go. Number one, you need to value here. I've said it in every way I can know how to say it throughout this series. Value here. Why are you valuing here? Because here equals position. If you're in the right here, the right position, it'll take you there. Remember my example earlier. Y'all, all we have to do is be in the right position. And it delivers me to where God wants me to be. Stop devaluing the place that God has assigned to you. Imagine the disciples telling Jesus, Jerusalem? Man, I thought we was about to really just, I thought we was headed to Caesarea. I got some homies up in Cessy that I told that we was going to roll through. And I told them that, and my mans wanted to go to Capernaum. And I thought we was going to visit, Corinth. You know what I'm saying? Oh, that, well, I'm about to move to L.A., and they told me that there were better opportunities in New York. This is the jargon and the language of people who do not value here. You think that your favor's in a different city? Wherever I go, the favor's on people. You don't never hear God about anointing the land. He anointed the people and it said, wherever your footsteps. Like what I'm trying to get you to understand is if you value here, God will take you there. But if you are not in position this year, you will delay your go. Golly. Somebody's going to watch this back and you're going to be at 2023 like, daggummit. If I would have just gotten position, and sometimes the positions are not seen positions. Sometimes the positions you can't post about. Sometimes the positions, they take anonymity. You know what that is? That means that people can't even know that are around you what God's doing in you because the position requires a level of just being here. And literally some of the work that God's doing in me right now is frustrating because I wish people could at least see what God's doing because it would give me encouragement to keep doing it. And God said, you're going to have to encourage yourself. David said it like that. Sometimes I got to encourage myself in the Lord. Do you know what that's doing in me? It's building stamina. It's building endurance. And I don't know what's ahead. I don't know what there is. I don't know what happens when we open our church back up. I don't know. But whatever God's doing here, I'm valuing it. If you don't stop devaluing the position you are in, God can definitely take you to a different one that you don't like, even worse. How you saying? What are you saying, Pastor Mike? God told me one time, he said, Michael, he said, you better start enjoying where you are. Because this can either be the last time we do this, or it can be the thing that you learn to enjoy because you need it for everything I've called you to do. I'm trying to say it without saying it. Can I say it? You don't even know what you need up there. And if you don't let God do the work in you right here,
you will be not equipped. You won't have the instruments or the tools. So I'm asking you for Transformation Church, value here. Everybody say here.
Here.
But then there's a we. And I like we. Let me go back. I forgot something. Here is where you hear. The reason why you stay here is it's because where you hear God. And when you hear God, then everything changes. I know I'm right in the middle of where God wants me right here because I've heard him clearly. And that's when you hear him, you better make sure you have the right we. So you need to value here, and then you need to value the we. What are you saying? The people. Who are you around? And who's around you? And are they the right we for here? They might have got you through the last season, but are they the right people for, everybody say here. That's why when I say here we go, it's not here I go. It's here we, God always chooses to do things in community. He never asks for a solo project. He wants a collaborative work of people that are going the same way with the same heart and the same mind. Who's your we? This is what you have to value in 2022. And some of you, I'm going to just say where I feel like God has dropped the burden for me today. Some of you do not have friends because you're not friendly. You're mean. You make people prove to you that they should have your time. Like they should be grateful to be breathing your air. Like if you text them back or respond back to them, somehow they've been chosen in a lottery to be able to speak to you today. The reason you don't have encouragement in down times is because you literally repel the people who are supposed to be a resource to you. You are so insecure in the areas of life that are deficient to you in this season that you will literally isolate yourself from the people who are supposed to give you courage. That's why they call it encouragement. Somebody's supposed to be putting it in. And if you do not have community around you to encourage you, you may need to ask yourself, who are you encouraging? Because you reap what you sow. You want friends? Be a friend. You hear about a problem, somebody's sick, do what you will want somebody to do. We talk about it in finance and we talk about it in serving. We don't talk about it in friendship. I might have to revisit this in cuffing season. But what I'm talking about, if you really want best friends, who are you a best friend to? You don't gotta call me a best friend for me to be your best friend. You can deny the title, but you can't deny how I'm functioning in your life. Some people have weak we's. Your we is weak. I can't take it no more. And when you fall, you hit the ground because you don't have no we's around you. Or it's just your we's are weak because you got them. They just don't have the capacity to hold you up. Zoe, come here. Kaylee, come here. Jennifer, come here real fast. Just real fast. Memes, come here. Okay? Yeah, just come here. I know y'all wasn't ready to be on platform today, but just come here. Okay, just come here. I'm a fall. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. I'm going to jump. I'm going to jump and fall.
Okay. Where?
I don't know where I'm going to jump and fall. But I don't have enough in me to stay up no more.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm about to, only one of them was ready. Kaylee looking at me like, Pastor Mike, I just had a baby, please just. The problem is I don't feel secure neither do they. Let me say it again. I don't feel secure and neither do they. Because they are not built for this weight.
Yeah, that's good.
even if we have great conversations and we laugh at the same jokes and we watch the same TV shows and we go to the same church, they're not my we. Will, come here. Brinsome, come here. Scott, come here. Will Heckenbach, Will Bell, come here. Like, okay. So what ends up happening is very easily there's some security that comes to my life when the wrong we steps to the side. And the right we, now, it's not that I still won't be heavy. And it's not that it might not actually be difficult. But I know they're built. You gotta hear me. They're built to hold me up. And even when I look like it and I'm not prepared, they're built to hold me up. Even in the moments where it doesn't look like. They're built to. If I would have done that with these babies, watch, they would have been hurt and I would have been hurt. If you don't get the right group of people around you, hurt is inevitable. You gotta get a strong we, a strong community, a strong church. Hey, Will, Britt, Scott, I thought I was done. See, I didn't even tell them what I was doing, but the right community can hear my tone. They can hear in my tone. I can say I'm not good. I'm cool, bro. I don't need none, man. I'm good. I'm chilling. But look what they're doing. They're walking with me. They're following me around because they know at any moment I might need some support. And it's the crazy thing. Brent might be going through a situation and we switch places and he might need us to hold him up. I don't get him. And after Brent gets held up, Will may need some, you ready, Will?
I'm lining up.
Let's go. Listen. See, in my community, and when Will's done, Scott may need something. And when Scott needs it, this is what our community looks like. Until we get the right we here, pain, hurt, discipline. That's why most people leave the church. Because I was getting a divorce and I was going to fall flat on my face. And nobody caught me. And so now I'm dealing with the pain of my mouth and my face and my heart being broken because I didn't have the right we around me. People who were strong enough in prayer when I didn't have the words. People that were able to give me words of encouragement. Some of these people have vulnerable parts of me. I'm not worried where none of their hands are right now. I'm just grateful I'm off the ground. And some of, oh, don't touch that. Don't do this. Don't do that. No, baby. When you get in community that's humble, open, and transparent, you don't care what they see. You just care that they're holding you up. I'm preaching right now. Somebody say, we. If you don't get the right we here, and this, all I'm saying to you in this moment is, it may not even feel like you need them now. But you have no idea what is up. When me and Natalie got the diagnosis for MJ, there was no warning to that. If I didn't have the right we around me, I wouldn't be standing on this platform today. When the spit hit the fan, if I couldn't have called a couple of my friends and said, let's go to Napa, California. Actually, I didn't say it. They had already had a trip planned there. And it was like, y'all just come with us. I looked at Natalie. I said, I got to get up out of here. I need to disconnect from social media. I need to be around people. And we sat every night on the balcony overlooking some grape fields, a vineyard. And we talked about the purpose of God. In the moment where I already felt, watch this, I already felt like I was on the ground. This is what a good weed will do. They'll come, get down in your situation, and when you don't have the strength to pick yourself up, they will be ones that will pick you up until, and then I get a little strength back. And I start feeling it, but I can't do it without them yet. I set up, but I'm not ready to put my feet on the ground yet. I can listen during praise and worship, but I haven't raised my hands in a while. And they'll still stand there with you and still believe with you and still send it. And I'm like, I got a little strength, but don't leave me yet. Just put me on the ground and they'll stay with me and walk with me. Oh, can I say this? Your we should look multi-ethnic. I got a white brother on my left side and a black brother who didn't like white people most of his life on my right side. One day you'll get to hear Scott's testimony. I got Will behind me. I wish I had an Asian brother. Michael Ty, where you at, brother? I need somebody else here. All I'm saying is when you get, it doesn't matter. At this moment, their background doesn't matter.
That's good. That's good. Come on.
It's their strength and my time of need. This year, when God says, here is holy, and we say, here we go, make sure you have the right we so that you can do everything that God has called you to do. Somebody give God some praise right here. Thank y'all. Hey, y'all, turn around. I just wanted to make sure. All right. All right. But look what happened. It was a situation that they were able to catch me in that they were unprepared for. Thou makes them stay closer. Look at all of them. Put the camera on. Look at them. Don't look at me. Look at them. If your we's not ready. And some of y'all have been committed to people. You're committed to a we that resourced you in your last season. And you're expecting that they'll actually help you now. But they're actually a wait. Okay. I'm good for real this time. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. It says, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers, that means a we, a group, were meeting together in, everybody say, one place. This is where Jesus told them to wait. He said, get in position, stay here, and don't leave, don't go until you're in one place with the right we. So here is position. We equals people. But watch this last one, okay? Go equals power. The whole reason Jesus said, go and wait here is because I'm gonna give you the power of the Holy Spirit to actually go and be impactful. Look at it, Acts chapter 1, verse 7. He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. So that means there's going to be a level of confusion whenever we are walking with God. But you will receive, everybody shout at me, power. Say it with your chest, power. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Value the power of the Holy Spirit. It makes no sense for you to say, here we go, and you're in the right position, and you have the right people, but you have no power. The disciples had walked with Jesus all of this time, but he still tells them, go to this specific place that I'm not going to be at with you. and wait till you hear God in that place. And then everybody who's in your we is going to get the same power to be able to go out and do what I asked you to do in the first place. Go into all the world, but stay here with the right people until you get the power of the Holy Spirit to go out there and actually be effective. What are you trying to say, Pastor Mike? Don't go without power. Why would you go through this year without the Holy Spirit leading and directing you? Why in the world would you make a plan for a business and the Holy Spirit's on the sideline and you're like, yeah, just wait. I'll ask for you in a minute. Like, no. Put him in the game right now and ask him, give me power to do what you've asked me to do. Leaving here and going there without power is pointless. God's not sending you to culture to get beat up and sent back to the church. He's not sending you to be the first in your family to break generational habits and cycles for them to swallow you and spit you back out. And you're like, yeah, I think my ministry is to people who are broken like me. And you don't go to the place that God called you to go to. The sad fact is there are many pastors without power. There are many politicians without the power of the Holy Spirit. There are many people parenting without the power of the Holy Spirit. Your parents did the best they could, but many of them did not do it a kingdom way. And if you're just following patterns of broken people, you should allow the Holy Spirit. Well, I beat my kids. I beat them. You spare the rod. You spoil the child. That was your situation. But you've never even asked God how to discipline this child. You literally took the pain you experienced, turned it into punishment for them. And somehow now you think that everything's going to be okay because you didn't even talk to them afterwards. You literally hit your kids, sent them into their room, took away the things that they enjoy, and say, you better eat dinner? That's trauma if I've ever heard it. And you didn't know that God gave you a compassionate child, a sensitive child, a child that you never would have to hit them if you actually took time to talk to them. And if you would have done that, what you're doing is creating a wedge between you and the person who's going to take care of you 60 years from now. And the reason you're going to end up in a home that nobody cares for you is because you didn't care for them when they were in your home. And the thing, I don't know who this is for right now, but what I'm saying to you is don't parent without the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't go without power. It's better that you stay here and wait for God to give you a revelation than for you to go out there without power and try to do it in your own strength. Apply it to whatever you want to. Copy and paste. But you trying to live single and pure without the power of the Holy Spirit in 2022? That is a losing battle. But why would you go to the fashion industry and not go with the power of the Holy Spirit? Why would you go into the school system? Why would you go into sports? Why would you go into education? Why would you go there ill-equipped to actually impact? That's why God said, it's better for you to stay here and wait on me. When we sing the song, wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord. What's the next part? He will renew your strength. That's the power. So wait, I say, wait on the Lord. Because he wants to give you something if you wait on the Lord. He's telling you, you need power. He will renew your strength. So wait. If we would actually do that, we would go into places that used to be a battle and there would be no fight. When certain power shows up, certain conflict goes down. There's a certain level of bark that people have when somebody weak is in the room. But when somebody strong steps in, it changes. Let's not lead this church, lead our small groups, lead our businesses without the power of the Holy Spirit. What are you saying, Pastor Mike? When God's saying here is holy, last point, write it down. The Holy Spirit isn't optional here. Here we go, but not without the Holy Spirit. Here we go, but not until he gives us power. So what do I do in the wait? What do I do here? Get healthy here. Get whole here. Change your heart here. And whenever God decides to give you a word from his Holy Spirit, an understanding of what's happening, new language for what God's calling you to do, then you go. Me becoming the pastor of this church, I would have never done it unless God visited me in a Best Western hotel in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. At 2:30 in the morning, God said, I'm about to do something in you, but you got to obey me here. There was no Spirit Bank Event Center. There were no people. There were no crazy faith offerings. There was no book. God said, on this floor, I need you to obey me here. Well, God, I don't know. I don't know how this is all going to happen, and I don't know. I ain't ask you all that. I did not ask you all that. All I ask you is for a yes here. And on the floor with my wife in the bed, I said, God, I'll do it. And what my life has been since I obeyed God in that moment of here, all I can explain is when I step, it takes me to my next here. And every time I get confused and I don't know what to do, God says, do what you did last time. Just acknowledge that here is holy. And because God is here, you're going to be all right. Obey me. First year of ministry. I don't know if that ever is going to happen again. Second year of ministry. Wow. God keeps doing this. Third year of ministry. Wow. It goes viral. Son diagnosed with autism. Write the book Crazy Faith. God, it doesn't make sense. Okay. Fifth year of ministry. Wife going through depression because of the things happening with your son. God begins to start forming miracles in the situation. Staff members change. Spit hits the fan. It just seems like if I would get in the rhythm of agreeing with God, get in the rhythm of staying on pace with him, I would have gone further obeying God than I ever would trying to figure out everything that was going to happen there. Here is, help me, holy. I pray that from now on, you get this internal, here we go, on the inside of your heart. God, you going to do something crazy this year? Yep. Am I going to know what it looks like? Nope. Here we go. God, I'll wait on you. Here is holy. I want to pray for you. This sermon series will be a marker for many of our lives over and over again. This ain't a one-time sermon series. God will bring you back here several times because you'll go from here to here and then from here to here. And people will think you went from here to there, but it will be a bunch of obedient steps. And then you'll get to a place like I was at the beginning of the year. God, what do you want to do? And he said, just obey me here. And he'll take you to your next here. I know for some of you, it's like, Pastor Mike, I just don't get it. You will. I promise if you walk with God long enough, you'll have to look at a situation he doesn't allow to change immediately and declare, here is holy. Today, in front of my whole church, in front of everybody that's here, I'm declaring that where we are as a church, it's holy. It's uncomfortable. I don't like it. I wish we were back in the arena. I wish we could have people. All the different things that, like, I miss y'all. As soon as we open y'all, we might have a 10-day party. I don't even know what's going to happen. I might just be there every night at 6 by myself. Whoever wants, like, but I can't even tell you a date. Like, I can't even hint at anything. We done had so many potential grand open, re-grand, grand, your great grand. We had so many open. I just told the staff, just wait. For some reason, God has prophetically paused us. Not pathetically paused us. Nothing has gone down. More salvation. I think there's been 5,700 salvations since the beginning of the year. Like, there's, like, that's how you know it's pathetic when the things that God cares about start going down. But my feelings, he don't care about that. He cares about his will being done. And for some reason, he got us in this place, and he's saying, here is holy. I want you to look at every situation that may not be as favorable as you like it to be, and stop and hear God here. Could you close your eyes everywhere? God, I'm praying over these people. The same prayer, Father God, that I've been praying over myself. Father, let us see you here. Give us revelation, revealed truth. Show us enough for us to be content here. God, we acknowledge that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Father God, we would like a lot more answers. But God, we want to fulfill the assignment. So today, let us not have the Moses mentality. Father, let us surrender and agree with what you want to do in our lives, in our family, in this church. Here we go. However you want to do it, God, we're saying yes, we obey. Everything you want to do this year, our attitude will agree with the anointing you have placed on our lives. Here we go, God. If it's staying in this building for the rest of the year, here we go, God. God, I just want to be right where you want me. So we're saying, here is holy. Come on, say that out of your mouth. Here is holy. Just sing that one more time. Just let God minister to you right here. Hands lifted, yeah. In your house, just turn this moment into an altar. Come on, this is our heart posture right here. Just one more time. Just receive it. God's speaking to you right here. All year, we'll revisit this moment, DJ. All year. Steve, right here. It's holy. I don't know what God's gonna do the rest of this year for us, but I promise you, our goal is connected to what we do right here. I promise you. Get healthy here. Take care of your body here. Read your word here. Get the right we here. For anybody that needs to understand the Holy Spirit or be filled with the Holy Spirit, this week I'm challenging you to go back and watch a series that we did called The Upgrade. And I literally explained, because some of y'all want an experience, but other people need understanding, and I think it's good to get both of them. And I literally walk you through what the Holy Spirit offers us, because it's a person, it's a He. And when you get this revelation, it'll change everything. Don't go without the power of the Holy Spirit. God, we thank you for what you're doing in us and through us. Ooh, I feel the presence of God. Just do it one more time, y'all. Jeez.
You're the King of Kings to our holy God. You're the only God I bring my everything. Oh, Lord, here is His holy.
Come on, let Him minister to you right there in your home.
I'm waiting on you in the secret presence. For the Lord in my life, I'll see your face. Oh,
here we go, God. Come on, somebody, just let that get in your heart. For some of you, this is your moment of salvation. The reason this is holy is because this is the day you're going to give your life to Christ. Yeah, like around here, there's no secrets. Like, what we want everybody to do, if you don't do nothing else, is surrender your life to the love and the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's why we exist, so people can be transformed in Christ. All the examples, all the stuff, that's great. But all I'm trying to do is get you to have a real experience with the only person that can change you. It happened for me. Like when I was at my worst here, when I was a liar, a manipulator, addicted to pornography, I had a felony case against me. There was all kinds of different things that were going on in my life. And God said, yeah, if you would surrender right here, I'll use you. And I'm telling you, it's the greatest decision I ever made. It changed me and transformed me forever. And now I'm not a perfect man, but I am a man that is progressing and being used by God. And I can have an attitude that says, God, I don't understand, but here we go. Like, whatever you want to do with me, however you want to use me. And I want you to experience that same thing, because it's the reason why you were even born, for purpose, and to have relationship with God. And so today, on the count of three, I'm about to say a prayer, but if you want to be included in that prayer and be like the other 5,700 people this year that have committed their life to Christ, today I just want you to slip your hand in the air wherever you are. It doesn't matter if you're in this room, if you're on your couch, if you're driving in the car, if it's live or rebroadcast, the Holy Spirit is right there with you. The Bible tells us it's the Holy Spirit that draws people to Jesus. You are at your day of salvation. And don't let anybody distract you. Don't let what you did last night distract you. Don't let what you're planning to do tomorrow distract you. Let God have your heart right here. One, you're making the greatest decision of your life. Two, your name is gonna be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But more than that, you are going to be God's child out loud in front of everybody. And three, you are going to be a witness for His glory. Lift your hands in the air if that's you. Yeah, there's hundreds, if not thousands, of hands going up right now. At Transformation Church, you already know the deal. We're a family here. Nobody prays alone. Y'all ready to pray with these people who are coming into relationship with God? It's a holy moment. Everybody, just lift your hands and say, God, thank you for meeting me here. Today, I surrender. Have your way in my life. I believe you lived, you died, and you rose again with all power just for me. And today, I give you my life. Change me, renew me, transform me. I'm yours. Here we go into a new life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, Transformation Nation, can we give God some praise? Oh, y'all got to do better than that. There are thousands of people that just said, here we go. They're walking with God. They're going to be everything that God's called them to be. Everybody standing, we're going home. I make a commitment to everybody. I'm gonna live this transformation out that God's doing in my life in front of all y'all. I can't do it fake. This generation has seen too much inauthenticity from platforms. I don't know what that means. I don't know where it's taking me. And I already told you, I feel all kinds of vulnerable and I feel all kinds of, but this is what I promised to do this entire year. Every series, I'm gonna take off my protection. I'm gonna take off the things that keep people from seeing the real me. I'm gonna share real stories. I'm gonna get vulnerable and I'm gonna stand up here. I even got crap from my socks and just all kind, it don't even matter, here it is. If the church would ever become this transparent, I think we could see the world changed. So for the rest of this year, I don't need everybody, but I need at least 10,000 of y'all to come with the attitude that whatever God's doing with Transformation Church, here we go. And if we can do that, do I got y'all with me? I said, can I get 10,000? Put it in the chat right now. Everybody yell at me, here we go. Woo. Thought God was gonna do a miracle. Put it back on there. Thought he's gonna do a miracle during this series. His pinky toe still not touching the ground. But here is holy. That's my how your situation looks. It may not be fixed yet. People gonna look at you kind of crazy, but it don't matter. I'll put these in the Yeezy slides. You can look at them. It don't matter. But I declare wherever I stand. I love y'all so much. Father, I thank you that this will be the best week of us hearing you here. Bless their families. Bless their businesses. Bless their contentment. And God, I thank you that as you bring us here next week, it will be another day of progression for us, that we would transform and become everything that you've called us to be. God, we will agree with the anointing that you have placed on our lives this year. We're not fighting you, and we're declaring that here is holy. In Jesus' name, we agree. Somebody say, we agree. We expect. Amen. Let's give God one more big shout of praise. Y'all go out and live a transformed life.